Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for baptism. I actually spent quite a bit of time PSR this message. So I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of my time to just share with you something I got out of this week three about baptism. For the longest time, I fully realized the wonderful practice of baptism. You know, at our regeneration, we have received Christ into us. And that's wonderful. We are spared from eternal perdition. Right? That's wonderful. However, if you don't get baptized, there is no transfer of realms. So practically speaking, you are still under the tyranny of Satan. So there has to be a transfer. Unless that transfer happens, in some sense, you don't have access into all the riches of Christ. And as the brother shared in Galatians 3:27, you know, without having been baptized, we cannot put on Christ. There's no expression of Christ, even if you try really hard. So it's not an optional matter. You know, in contacting a lot of new ones on campus, a lot of these dear believers, they have received the Lord. But yet at the same time, they have not taken the step of getting baptized. Because of that, there's a struggle. The struggle to enjoy the wonderful riches of Christ. So tonight, I guess I just want to sound a call. If you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized as soon as possible. Amen. You know, we're here talking about building up the body of Christ. If you're not even baptized into Christ, how can you participate in the practical building of Christ? So anyway, this is just a little bit from week three. When I saw this, I was so burdened for all the dear believers who have not been baptized. Anyway, just want to share this. Praise the Lord. So in this fellowship, I have a little burden to review just a little bit of message one from last night, because I feel like that really sets a tone for everything we're talking about. We cannot talk about the practice if we do not have a clear vision of what we are doing here. Because that actually controls everything we do. So last night, as I was listening to the brothers, two verses came to mind. The first one is in Matthew, and the second one is from Revelation. Both verses are prophetic in nature. So maybe all of you, if you can, just turn to Matthew 16:18. I think that's a very familiar verse to us. Maybe let's all read Matthew 16:18 together. Got it? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. So I want to mainly focus on these five words. I will build my church. I will build my church. This is a very emphatic speaking from the Lord. Let's just read these five words again. I will build my church. This is what is on God's heart. This is on the Lord's heart. There's an intense desire that He wants to do this, to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ, to build up this masterpiece. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So this verse also tells us what the Lord is doing today. He's not doing a lot of different things. He's just doing one thing. If you ask the Lord, "Lord, what are you doing today?" He will tell you that I am building my church. I'm building up the body of Christ. So this is what the Lord wants to do. Okay. Now, I just want to say that it is not good enough to the Lord just to produce the body of Christ. He wants to build up the body of Christ. Okay, now let's turn to Revelation 19:7. Let's also read this verse together. On the other end of the New Testament, at the very end. You guys got it? Okay, let's go. Let us rejoice and exult, and let us give glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. So this is the part I want to emphasize, the last part. His wife has made herself ready. So Matthew 16:18 is the Lord's part. He's the one building. He's the one working Himself into us. And we're just here to receive. But in Revelation 19:7, there's the other side. Our side. Our responsibility. There's an echo, hopefully, in this conference. There is a response within all of us. Lord, I want to respond to your intense desire to get your bride, your prepared bride. Well, I want to respond to your desire to get this build-up body. Therefore, I will prepare myself. I will make myself ready. So this is our side. So hopefully, after realizing that the Lord has a desire to have a build-up body, there will be an echo within us. Lord, I also want this. In fact, I give myself to do this in all of my church life. Okay, so the other thing I want to say, what does it mean to have a build-up body of Christ? What does it mean to build up the body of Christ? It's just the build-up body of Christ, it's just the increase of Christ. So the more Christ you have, the more build-up this body is. So this is what we are doing. We're doing our best to allow Christ to work Himself into us. So there can be more build-up body of Christ. Now this morning, Brother Kashin mentioned something. Along with the vision, there is the commission. And what is the commission? And he uses Matthew 28:19-20. Here, these two verses says, go and disciple all the nations. Baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? And then the following verse says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So Brother Kashin mentions that this is our commission. Are we all going? The Lord has sounded the commission. But someone needs to go. He doesn't go by himself. We need to go with Him, in oneness with Him. But how are we going? We have to go with His authority. Not in ourselves, but we go with Him. Okay? But then, not just going, but there's a need for discipling. And later on, it talks about teaching. If you look at the footnote there, discipling there, it's more than just passing on some kind of objective knowledge. But discipling is to change the heathen into the kingdom people. So that implies our speaking must have the light power to change people. Change people. If you just have some words, words will not change people. Knowledge, mere objective knowledge, does not change people. But the constituted truth in you will change people. So that's why, Brother Cushing has, actually all of us have such a strong burden that we need to pay attention to our constitution. That's why there's a need to pray read. That's why we need to study the Word with a renewed mind. That's why we need to muse upon the outlines, the ministry, the Word. Without doing that, there is no constitution. So when we prophesy, something of God can get into people. Okay. Now, so the general subject is our vision. What's our vision? Our vision is to build up the body of Christ. What's our commission? It's to go and disciple. But what is the way? So this morning we touched the first way, and that is to have a change in our constitution to PSRP. So tonight we're going to touch something else. Actually, where does the build? I'd just like to ask this. The second way is to have the small group church life. This is the way to advance the Lord's recovery. So we need to PSRP. We also need to have a small group church life. So with this matter, there's a question I like to ask. You know, after you have a renewed constitution, where do you build up the body of Christ? Where does the building up of the body of Christ take place? Well, it's in the small group church life. Okay, now let's turn to the outline here. Okay, how about let's all read the title here all together. The small group church life, God's practical way to build up the church. Amen. So very quickly, the small group meetings are the foundation of the building of the church. This is an unshakable law. A says, although big meetings can gather and stir up people, they cannot build them up. I think that's all of our realization. Okay, let me read B quickly and then I'll come back to it. B says, we need the big meetings to gather in the building material, for without the material, there can be no building. But there is still the need for the fine building work. So here, I like to just quickly read this verse that we have listed there, Acts 2:46. Acts 2:46 says, and day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart. So this is what a small group church like looks like. Number one, it talks about frequency. The frequency is day by day. It's not once a week, but day by day, every day, if possible, day by day. Number two, the location. Where's the location? Yeah, it's in the house, in the houses of the saints. It's not just in a house, but in my house, in your house. So, and it's from house to house. This is the Lord's prescription, in a sense, on how we can build up the body of Christ. My time is almost up. So with the houses of the saints, right away, there's a built-in limitation. You know, my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, we have been looking for a place to rent apartments. I don't know why, but it seems like this is always the configuration, no matter which apartments you go into. It's always almost all 14 by 14 or 14 by 15. That is the size of the living room, you know? So with that, you cannot fit 100 people in there. With that size, you cannot even really fit 30 people in there. It has to be small. And this is the Holy Spirit's invention. Actually, this is the Spirit's design. That it has to be small. Because if it's not small, it's hard to get to know each other. Actually, later, Brother will share a little bit more about that. But I do want to mention just this matter of smallness. We should not despise it. I know in Christianity, everything's big, mega, thousands, huge. That's what Christianity, what Satan wants us to think, that largeness, bigness is good. But in God's eyes, smallness is better. Of course, here in 2:46, the believers, they gather in the temple. So we're not discounting the big gatherings. We should still come together on Labor Day weekends. We're here. There's this usefulness in coming together for the ministry of the word. However, for the relatedness, for the practical building up, we have to reduce the size. Okay, and also being the homes of the saints. Okay, I'll just read the rest of the outline. C says, the small group is a way to build up the church, the way to gain people, the way to shepherd others, and the way for mutual care. Not only so, the small group is also the way to uphold the saints and to equip and perfect the saints in the truth. I don't have time to develop the point. I'll just go on. And Roman numeral 2 says, we need to see three functions of the small groups. I think we are familiar with the first one. I think for the most part, all of us are taking care of point A quite well. The first function of a small group gathering is to sustain the spiritual life of the brothers and sisters who meet regularly, as the saints have more opportunities to fellowship and pray with one another. But there's B and C. I feel like this is the part that we don't pay a lot of attention to. B says, a small group should also function to restore brothers and sisters who have not met for a long time. And with love and warmth, we can restore our dear brothers and sisters one by one. This is a place where we can recover the saints. Where I am, I just keep finding out there are a lot of saints where I am. It's crazy. They're all there, but they're also not here. So this is the place where we practice to recover these ones. Now, C is a big one. We must also develop offensive function of preaching the gospel from house to house. One says, in order to be blessed by the Lord, a small group must be fully related to the gospel. Okay, this next point, actually, I have to give the credit to Brother Terry. He sent me this long excerpt, three different excerpts. And I saw this quote. I could not believe it. Here, Brother Lee says, the absence of new ones in a small group violates the spirit of the small group. And it's also against the purpose of the small group. Have you ever considered that? I feel like I congratulate myself. I pat myself on the back while all the sheep who are regular in the meetings are still here. Well, maybe I do my best, try to recover some. But to preach the gospel, to gain new ones, a lot of times that's not in my consciousness. And then it says, even if the same saints attend the meeting every week, rain or shine, that group will decline if there are no new ones. Let's all read this point. How about we read this point together? Let's get this point into us. The absence of new ones in a small group violates the spirit of the small group and is also against the purpose of the small group. Even if the meeting every week, rain or shine, that group will decline. There are no new ones. And three, I'll end with this one. Whenever there are gospel friends in a small group gathering, the gathering is full of freshness. New faces are the live pulse of a small group. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to respond to your call. Oh, we want you to build up your church. We want to be those who make ourselves ready. I just wanted to start by sharing something firstly to myself and also to all of you, which is this feeling that we need to be those who work out the things that we hear. Recently, leading brothers from Taiwan, came to have fellowship with the brothers here. And I was just very impressed by their testimony. They testified that everything that Brother Lee heard from Brother Ni, Brother Lee worked it out. And they had this commission that everything that Brother Lee spoke to them, that they need to work this out. And that this is what it really means to follow the ministry closely. It's not that we would just hear things and we say amen, but actually that we would be like what Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 4:9. The things which you have also learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. I just feel like how much have we learned and received and heard and seen? And I I especially speak this to myself, and how little have I worked this out? I just feel, you know, especially related to this matter of the small group, how much have we been hearing, especially in Northern California, about the small groups? Our brother Minoru has been coming to us every single month to speak to us about the small groups, but how much have we worked this out? How much have we practiced these things? You know, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, these two verses are key verses describing the small group. And it describes the small group as our own assembling together. In a big meeting, we may not have as much say of how the meeting is arranged or what we do. But when the meeting is in your home, when the meeting is in your small group, you have a lot of say. How will you have this meeting? How will you be with these saints? I just feel we need to aspire to work out the things that we hear. Also, I was impressed that we need to endeavor and have a long-term view. If you look at this outline, and I think many of the outlines that we've covered, you keep seeing these phrases show up, such as we must endeavor. We need to build up. We need to learn. Even this phrase, study and experimentation. Just this past week, and Brother Minoru mentioned, we need to acquire a skill. These are all things that take time. It takes our practice. It takes our perseverance. And it requires us to have a long-term view. I just pray the Lord would really strengthen us these days. Put in us an aspiration. Lord, I want to work these things out. I don't just want to hear these things, be temporarily inspired, but give me the determination. Lord, remind us about the things that we would hear. And inspire us that we would work these things out in our church life. Maybe let's go to Roman numeral 3 and we can read this bullet together. Fellowship, intercession, care, and shepherding are the beginning and the base of the group meetings. Without such a base, we cannot have effective group meetings. I appreciate that everything that we read in the ministry is not something that is made up, but it is based on the Word of God. And we can see that these matters of fellowship, intercession, care, and shepherding, this is actually how the Bible describes the beginning of the church life. We talk about the recovery, right? The recovery of going back to the beginning. Well, the way the Bible describes the church life in Acts 2:42 is they continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. So this is the church life. This is what the early saints did, right? They had teaching, they had fellowship, they had breaking of bread, which we know was done in the homes and with eating food. There must have been some kind of care and shepherding. And also there were the prayers. I just feel like this should be our church life. Our church life should be filled with fellowship, filled with intercession, filled with care and filled with shepherding and teaching. This should be our church life and especially our small group church life. Not just in the small group meetings on Friday night, but all throughout the week when we're meeting day by day and house to house. Whenever we get together, what are we doing? We're having fellowship. We're praying for one another. We're caring and shepherding one another. And we're also teaching one another. This should be our church life. I just feel like the church life described here is not once a week you sit somewhere for 2 hours and listen to someone speak to you. That is not the way that the early saints met. They met day by day, house to house, fellowshipping, praying, caring and shepherding and teaching one another. Maybe let's read 8a together. We must endeavor to have meetings that are rich in mutuality. Let's read it one more time. We must endeavor to have meetings that are rich in mutuality. This matter of mutuality really touched me. Mutuality should be the nature of the church. Mutuality, actually, it should be the signpost of our church life. And I really appreciated when I was considering, how do I define this word mutuality? These two words that are repeatedly shown in the Bible keep coming to me. These words, one another. One another. Those verses that I mentioned about a small group, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, It tells us, let us consider one another so as to incite one another to love and good works. And later on it says, exhorting one another. So this is not something that is one directional, but this is something where you're considering me and I'm considering you. You're inciting me and I'm inciting you. You're exhorting me and I'm exhorting you. This is a one another church life. And I just appreciate this one another. It's everywhere in the New Testament. And this one another is full of intimacy. I'll just read to you some of these verses. Love one another. Show honor to one another. Care for one another. Through love, serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Comfort one another and build up each the other. Consider one another. I just pray that this would be our church life. Mutuality would be the nature of our church life. We'd have this intimate one another church life. Just like we are members one of another in a body, right? You're flowing to me and I'm flowing to you. Because we're members of the same body. I pray this would be our testimony. We'd be saved from any kind of isolation, coldness, indifference, or stiffness towards one another. But our church life would be full of mutuality. But it's very hard to build up the mutuality in a situation like this with hundreds and hundreds of saints, right? The mutuality is really built up in our small group church life. And I like to emphasize, not just the meetings on Friday night, but all throughout the week when we're meeting in twos and threes with one another. All right, let me read this next point, point B, 1 and 2. In the first section of the group meeting, the attendants should fellowship concerning each person's present spiritual condition and practical environment. The first thing that we need to care for is a practical fellowship among the attendants related to their daily life. We need to build up an intimacy with all the members of our group. To do this, those in our group may call one another during the day for brief contact and fellowship. I really have a burden here that we would all learn how to truly have fellowship with one another. Fellowship is especially in this particular case, it's in a specific way. It's fellowshipping as in sharing about our present spiritual condition, our practical environment, and our present situation in and with the Lord. You know, if I'm sharing with you about what I enjoyed from the Holy Word for Morning Revival, it's really good, but I can share it to you in a way that I don't need to really open up that much about myself. But when you're sharing someone thing about your spiritual condition, it really requires us to open up, to tell you, this is how I'm doing. This is what I'm going through. And, you know, of course, we need to exercise our spirit and check with the Lord about what the Lord would cause us to share with the saints. But I do feel that we need to build up this kind of fellowship with the saints in our small group. We've been trying to practice this. Some saints here are in my small group, and we've been trying to practice this in the last few months, to learn how to open up and share about our spiritual condition. And I found that it can be a little bit difficult to foster and to open up and to share. And one thing that I've realized is that I need to be someone who would open up first about my condition, about my spiritual situation. So just a little experience a few months ago, I felt led by the Lord to open up an experience that I had where I was very disappointed about something that happened at work. I had worked very, very hard for something, and it didn't pan out the way that I did. And it really bothered me, and I honestly felt a little embarrassed to bring this up to the saints. This felt a little trivial. But I have to be honest that this was something that weighed heavily on me. But I felt that just by opening up to the saints, I felt so encouraged. I felt they actually cared for me, and they prayed for me, and they reminded me what I'm here on the earth for. And I really felt there was a type of healing there. And this kind of thing, it made me realize that if I did not open up the situation, I just put it aside, and it's okay, they won't care, I wouldn't have received the supply. Sometimes I hear this fellowship, and I have to admit that I sometimes have had this feeling too, maybe you have, where you may feel, sometimes in the church, I feel like no one really cares for me. I feel like I'm going through a hard time, but no one has reached out and no one is shepherding me. But I feel like in considering this, I had this realization that we need to learn to have fellowship with one another. We need to learn to open up about our spiritual condition to one another. And we need to learn to open to the fellowship from the saints and to seek this kind of fellowship. I hope this would be something we would practice. Practice these things, to open to one another. It may not be in our small group. It may just be in a 2 and 3 during the week. But we should practice that in our small group church life, we'd be filled with this kind of fellowship. Actually, when we have this kind of fellowship, it builds up an intimacy. Because when someone opens up to me, I'm burdened for this person now. And when I open to that person, they're burdened for me. This is how, in this point, we build up an intimacy with the members of our group. It's through our opening up to one another. And the other thing I'd like to emphasize here is that we need to spend time together. Right? The small groups should constitute 80% of our church life. So clearly that means it's not just this meeting on Friday night, the 2 hours, but all throughout the week. And I'll keep emphasizing this. Day by day and house to house, we need to get together. And what do we do when we get together? We need to fellowship, we need to pray, and we need to care and shepherd one another. Okay, point C. Such opening and fellowshipping brings in mutual interceding, mutual caring, and mutual shepherding. One, fellowship always brings in intercession. It also brings in the mutual care of the saints. This mutual care can be physical, financial, or spiritual, and it will result in mutual shepherding. Our group meeting should be like this every time. This will attract people. Oh, I pray our group meetings would be like this every time. You know, after fellowshipping, the natural result should just be intercession, care, and shepherd. It's just like if we're at the dinner table with our family and a family member opens up about something terrible that happened to them that day. Wouldn't we care? Wouldn't we want to pray for them, encourage them, or help them? It's the same way in our small group. We're a family. So when someone brings something up, we would just want to pray and we would just want to help. I just give a few quick examples from my small group. A few months ago in my small group, my wife and another mom opened up about just this matter of how hard it is to have little children in your home and the long suffering that is required to care for them. And we were opening up in our small group, and most of our small group are very young working saints who don't have children. And I think part of us, there was a fear of maybe they won't understand. But actually, when we opened up, they were full of care for us. They prayed for us, and even they volunteered to help us. A few weeks later, I had to stay late for work one day, and 4 sisters came over to my home to cook with my wife and to watch my 2 young kids. This was the practical care and shepherding that came from just opening up this matter in our small group. One last example, there was a saint who opened up about struggling to read the Bible consistently. One saint mentioned that actually one way that really helped them is to find another saint to read the Bible with. And then another sister opened up with this great idea, which is, why don't we have a spreadsheet where every saint could put in their availabilities during the week of what days, times they might be free. And therefore, the saints can look at the spreadsheet and see, if I'm free at this time, maybe another saint is free, and I can reach out and contact them. Well, after this, I think almost all the saints in our small group filled this spreadsheet in to different levels of detail. And then after that, it's helped to facilitate many contact during the week to pray, to fellowship, and to read the Bible. I just feel like really it is in the small groups that we could render an adequate and sufficient care for the saints. If we feel that we are not being cared for, we should join a small group. And we should encourage all the saints to be in a small group. We should bring those who are dormant or our new ones to the small group. It is in the small group where they can receive the adequate and sufficient care. Lastly, I'll just say, really, every human being is looking for something like this. Everyone wants to be in a family, and everyone responds to care. I just pray in our church life we would have such a small group church life full of intimacy and care for one another. Let me just read this last point. In the group meetings, we should not neglect the fellowship regarding the personal situation of the saints. However, neither should we overemphasize this fellowship. An overemphasizing of the fellowship will damage the meeting. Oh, it's good to know that the beginning and the base of the group meetings is fellowship. But actually, that is not the main goal of the small group meetings. The point is not just the fellowship and just talk about one another the whole time. Actually, the goal of the small group meeting is for the perfecting of the saints. And this is done through our teaching in mutuality. So this is the goal, and we can't forget that. But actually, we still need the fellowship as the base. Because without this mutuality, it's very hard to teach one another in mutuality. But it's important, and Brian's going to talk about this in a moment, that the goal is the perfecting, right? And this perfecting is unto the work of the ministry, the building up of the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. 80% of the church life is in the small group. Are you in the small group? Do you love your small group? Not so much. Well, I love my small group, but I don't know if every member in my small group loves the small group. So recently, there are some murmurings, complaining about small group. Does that happen in your small group? Well, just like every family, there is some situation, and we need to take care of that. You know, to me, the small group is my family. It's my spiritual family. It's my practical church life. If you ask me, how's the church life in San Jose? I'll think about the Lord's Day meeting, how many people were there, how much we exercise the Spirit, how much we prophesy. But then I start thinking about my small group because I don't know what's going on in other small groups. So to me, the church life is my small group. So I hope all of you here really treasure your small group, you know, really participate in your small group. It's a matter of mutuality. We need every member in the small group to make it work, just like in a family. We need every member in the family to make it work. No one is dispensable, right? Don't say that I can skip out of that small group meeting on Friday. They can go on without me exactly the same. They can go on, but not the same. They will miss you. They are missing your portion. Everything's here. You have a portion in your small group. And let's come and build up this small group. This is really our burden, this conference. We have two burdens. One is to be constituted with the truth. The other is to be built up in our small group. So here, in a small group, let's come to Roman numeral 4. Maybe we can read it together. The purpose and goal of the group meeting of the saints through being in mutuality. So Ephesians chapter 4, I think most of you are quite familiar with this two verses. And he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as shepherds and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. God gave us some gifts in the body. Who are the gifts? A lot of times we think, the blending brothers are a gift. The co-workers are the gift. The elders are a gift. Whoever is standing here talking is the gift. No. God gave gifts to all the members. All of you are gifts. You are the apostles. You are the prophets. You are the shepherds and teachers. You are the evangelists. We are all gifts. might be a different measure, but we are all gifted in the body. So as a gift, what do? You perfect the saints. So here we talk about the perfecting is a matter of mutuality. You know, what's the best way to perfect on a Friday night meeting? Well, here it says, the best way to perfect through mutuality is by mutual questioning. Ask questions. I don't know, maybe in the recovery, we don't like to ask questions so much. But it's the way to teach one another. Actually, the best way is to ask questions. Ask questions. But what kind of questions should we ask? I always, in our coordination with the full-timers, when we come together to study, I said, ask questions. But make sure you ask good questions. And then put them off. And everyone was silent. Like, mine is not a good question. So I would say, well, yeah, we do need to ask questions. And we do need to ask good questions too. Right? Don't ask, what's the weather tomorrow? That's not a good question. Whatever. Or talk about politics, who's going to be elected for what. We have to ask questions related to the truth. Ask questions related to the Christian life, right? And we need to ask questions related to the level of growth among the believers in your small group. If you have a lot of new ones, recently, my wife and I consider our small group, we actually have more new ones than, the stable things. Then we realize we really need to pay attention to these new ones. So when we have a lot of new ones, you have to ask the right question, a good question, that will help them to enter into the material, enter into the truth, right? So the best way to teach one another is to ask questions. How about we read 1A1? We need to learn not only how to answer the question, ask questions in a proper way is even more difficult than to answer them. Do you have that experience? I have that experience every week. For me to answer a question is easy, right? I think we all have that experience. Ask me, what's justification? Oh, okay. Let me, Romans, whatever. Look it up. But to ask a good question is hard. They ask a question that will bring in the fellowship, that will stimulate the interest of the new ones. It's very difficult to ask the right question. So to ask the right question is even more difficult to answer the right answer. Well, let's continue with B. How about that? Perfect the saints in your small group for the work of shepherding. Encourage them to visit others for fellowship and mutual care in twos and threes. Okay, a lot of us feel that I'm not qualified to perfect anyone. I'm no good. But actually, everyone is qualified. Just like in a family, the kids are qualified. Not just the parents are qualified to teach, but the older brothers are qualified to teach the younger siblings, right? What is perfecting? Perfecting is to help someone, to teach someone to do what you are doing. If you come to the Labor Day conference, you know what you can do to perfect someone? To bring a new one to the Labor Day conference. If you read the Holy Word for Morning Revival every day, you know what you can do? Help another one to read the Holy Word for Morning Revival every day. Whatever you're doing, you can help somebody. That is the best perfecting in the body of Christ. In this case, everyone can perfect. So, perfect someone to perfect someone. Does that make sense? Sometimes I realize it. I spend a lot of time with a saint, right? But I shepherd these saints, like I shepherd Matthew. I spend time with him. But I need to perfect him to shepherd someone else too. So not just me shepherding him, but he needs to shepherd someone, right? So anyway, let's come to the last one, Romans number 5. Let's read that together. We must recover. The small groups are the base for increase and spread. Okay, in our old concept, when we want to increase, we might get a bunch of people, like, wow, hundreds of people, right, to come and listen to an evangelist, to preach. But actually, that's not the best way. This one might preach to a lot of people, and might not, a lot of people might be baptized, but where's the container? The small groups are the containers. The more containers we have, the more we can contain the Lord's blessing. You know, in 2 Kings, there is a story about Elisha. Right? This widow was, she was in need. And then Elisha said, go get a lot of containers. The more, the better. And then when the containers were collected, Elijah pulled out the oil, and it was filled. The more container, the more blessing you can receive. But there is a problem. How about us read B together? When a group of people... So earlier I said you need to love your small group, but maybe you love your small group too much, and you don't want to be separate from each other. But that's the problem. In order to grow in the church, the most important thing to grow, to increase, is to grow the small groups. And yes, there has come to a point that we have to say goodbye to each other. Well, temporary. At least maybe on Friday we don't see each other, but in the church life, we're still one big family. So don't feel so bad. It is for good cause. So anyway, we have to remember always, you know, as the small groups grow and grow and grow, remember we need to divide them, multiply them, just like the cells in the body, always multiplying, always dividing. This is the wonderful way to cause the organic increase in the body of Christ. Well, how about we read C together? In many places, those who have been grouped together are not willing to be divided. This is absolutely wrong in the new way. The longer the groups remain together, the less they can do. So we have a goal in San Jose. We want to gain 3 new groups this year. I don't know whether it's happening or not. Mike, is it happening? Working it out. Praise the Lord. It has a lot of challenges. We know that, right? So we have to work it out. Work out many more small groups.
With your neighbor, and we'll have the 5 brothers for the confirming word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's receive the confirming word from our brothers. Amen. Go ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. The small group church life is God's practical way to build up the church. What is a practical way? What is God's practical way to build up the church? It is through the small group church life. Saints, I appreciate it. There's a lot of learning for me from this outline. I think actually to start, the big meetings can gather and stir up people. So, you know, I think in the church life, we may discount the big meetings too much. The big meetings have a place. They can gather people. They can stir up people. We do need to work on big, attractive meetings. However, that is not enough. How do we build up the people? We need the small group. The small group is where we can really gain and build up people in a solid way. Saints, you know, brother, saints, we're all here because we care, right? We're here on a Saturday night, right. Labor Day. We have a heart for the Lord. Right. We want to go on, right? And I was just touched by Brother Kashin's word this morning that when we come to the truth, our mind is renewed. We may have a certain concept, but with the word and the ministry, our mind is adjusted and renewed. Right. Saints, there are many things in this outline that renew my mind. You know, the absence of new ones in a small group violate the spirit of the small group and is also against the purpose of the small group. We must see that if we do not subdivide the groups and the homes, the increase will stop. The edification of the brothers and sisters will be greatly limited. The longer the groups remain together, the less they can do, the less useful they will be. Saints, my mind needs to be renewed when I read these words. Amen. And we can continue to endeavor. We must endeavor. Right. We must study and experiment so that we can build up our small group to build up the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Saints, when we heard this message, doesn't your spirit and your heart burn?
Amen. Amen.
Isn't this the small group church life we're all longing for?
Yeah.
And we're all here today because we've all tasted this before in our church life. But, you know, with time, sometimes it becomes routine. Sometimes we get settled. And then there's a wearing tactics of Satan. And, you know, the freshness is gone. And so I praise the Lord for this weekend that we could recover our vision.
Amen.
Recover our commission.
Amen.
This is what our small groups are for.
Amen.
You know, I was considering recently, enlightened by the Lord, that without realizing it, I've become in a defensive way of viewing our small group. Saints, like the ones that the Lord placed me with, they're still here. Isn't that good enough? And then I was touched in reading Luke about doing business with the Lord. And the one with the one mina, I gave the mina back. Isn't that good enough? And I realized, you know, with money, we know if we hide it in the mattress and you don't earn interest, you're actually losing money. But in this way, we realize even if we hold on to the ones that we have year after year, actually, we're losing. We will lose these ones. And then, maybe not in number, but in vitality, in function, the increase will stop. The edification will be greatly limited. The less they can do, the less useful they will be. But on the other side, oh, haven't you experienced when the new ones are there? Oh, then the gathering is full of freshness.
Right.
I can testify this. You see the saints rising up in function. And so I don't know. I'm just full of desperation.
Amen.
Saints, I don't know what to do. But I know I can pray.
Amen.
I know I can pray with the ones in my group.
Amen.
And I know I won't let the Lord go.
Amen.
Lord, I want to work these things out.
Amen.
Lord, we want to work these things out.
Right.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I also was very much helped by the speaking last night, the opening words for this conference, and especially in the context of the portions that we got into this morning and tonight. This matter of vision and of revelation and recovery, they go together. They're not separate. If you don't see something, if you don't have a vision, then how can you recover something, right? If something has been damaged or destroyed and it needs to be brought back to its original state, if you don't know what that original state is, how can you recover it? And I just feel like that's my condition, that I have lacked the vision concerning these matters. I've lacked the seeing concerning these matters. And I, again, like the brothers shared tonight, when I got a call about a week ago, Dan, could you give a confirming word? My response was, because Terry has trained me, life says yes. So I just said yes. But for a few days, I'm like, what am I confirming? But when the outline came, the Lord's speaking also came. There are three functions of the small groups. This is what the small groups do. They sustain the spiritual life of the brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord for this. And you have to say, many of us have this experience. But also, many of us just stop here. We just like, okay, we got it. But no, we don't have it. There are two other critical functions. One is to restore those who no longer meet with us. And the other is to develop not just the function. I like this. I'm not exactly sure where this word came from. I'm assuming it came from the ministry. Not just to develop the function of preaching the gospel, the offensive. This is a battle. It's a fighting. We need a war footing. This is that kind of endeavoring that we need to really progress in this matter. Anyway, I thank the Lord for his speaking on this weekend. Amen.
Thank the Lord for his speaking on this very touching matter. The small groups are our church life. I was very touched. The small groups are our church life. And I just want to say something about those three functions. I think all of us have a lot of experience with the first one, to sustain the saints in their spiritual life, the ones that are meeting regularly. I want to just give more of a testimony of what we've experienced where we are. The brother used defense, and that was the same word I was thinking. So we've had a small group for quite a few years, and, you know, we became kind of inward-looking. We did have saints. We had several families together, but we just were just happy to, okay, we had some YP. We just had a little inward-looking group, and you just get the sense that it's kind of dwindling. We're on the defense. And one sister said, if this is just a meeting for ourselves, I'm not interested anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a real testimony that woke us up. And so we realized, and this outline was very good, we didn't realize at the time, but we were violating the spirit of the small groups and the purpose of the small groups by just hanging around together, being inwardly looking. Mm. And so, saints, this is why we need the freshmen.
Right.
Okay, we need freshmen. They're called freshmen for a reason. They bring freshness.
Amen.
Of course, we could have all kinds of new ones, but we need the new ones desperately. It's interesting, you know, Sac State's got so many dozens of new ones. Actually, the saints that are laboring on the campuses, they're not trying to build up a campus work. They're not trying to build that up as the goal. They're burdened to build up the body of Christ.
Amen.
So they want those ones in the homes.
Right.
So, is it already? Okay, we don't know who needs the person more. We need them for the building up and for the vital church life. Okay, let me finish with one last thing. So then what we saw next was, as we started having these new ones, it's like we actually need more than a Friday night group meeting. We need to start getting together. We got some desperate fellowship, prayer, intercession, coordination. And so
by now, we've built up a kind of another gathering on Thursday and other times during the week, but that is one of the highlights of our week. We take care of each other. Here's one of these he's confirming. We enjoy the Lord. We fellowship. We care for what everybody's situation is. And then we pray with fighting for the new ones.
Right. Yes.
Then we make sure we got a lot of food, okay? Because Friday, the new ones love food, okay? So then Friday is full of all kinds of fellowship, intercession. Anyway, thank the Lord for this healthy word. The Lord's bringing us on in the small group church life.
Amen. I was just touched with 3 points. One is the title, The Small Group Church Life. And I would, that means living. So I think most of us, if we're honest, we think of Friday night. Oh, that's right. We got Friday night group meeting as an event, as a point in time. And then you have the meeting. And then on Saturday, you move on to whatever, right? Coordination with other brothers and sisters, coordinating for children's meeting. And then Lord's Day. And then comes Friday again, right? But no, it's talking here about a living. And then the other statement is, have you ever thought 80% of the church life should be in the small groups, small group church life? Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be having multiple Friday night meetings all the time. No, but your relatedness with one another produces many other transactions. Maybe it means I have a morning revival with a brother now for several years. You know, that's one way. Another way is how about reading a ministry message together with someone else to supply them and yourself? You both put your heads into the trough and enjoy the word, right? How about we just talk to you about baptism? There's someone who needs to be baptized. There needs to be prayer. There needs to be consideration on what to share, how to share, who to share, when to share. Anyway, can you see there's a living going on here? And there's purpose and meaning, right? And, of course, there's mutuality and care for one another, right? We all have situations we need to open on. Okay, number two here, this matter about here, we need to see new faces to are the life pulse of the small group. New faces. Okay, so we need to be what? We are in the business of people. First people is you and I, but the other people is these other two groups, right? And how about a saint who goes Lord's Day morning every other week but is not in a small group? How about consider and pray for that, right? Okay, let me just finish with this here. You have a new one. If you have this kind of a small group living and enjoyment with one another, and then you bring a new one in, you know what? You're bringing them into the living of what your small group is. You don't need to teach them the points. They enter into the reality and living of what you have. So praise the Lord for this message. Amen. It's a living, saints.
Amen.